Welcome back. We're on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. It's the War Room series. It rolls on. The New York Jets on the clock at number three. If you didn't listen to yesterday's episode, make sure you listen because the Cleveland Browns made their selection. They took Sam Darnold off the board at number one. John Schmielk for the Giants.com. Game on. Picked Saquon Barkley for the Giants at number two. We are rolling on to number three. We've got two very special guests with us today, Trevor, don't we? Joe Caparoso from TurnOnTheJets.com, owner and podcaster, blogger there. Really good stuff from Turn on the Jets. If you're a Jets fan and you're listening and you don't check out their stuff, you need to. Also, Connor Rogers, one of their big free agent signings, he is on the show as well. He's been on the show with me before. Also, of Bleacher Report, of course, Stick to Football and Stick to Jets, a great podcast covering the NFL draft and the New York Jets. Joe, Connor, thanks so much for coming on, guys. Appreciate you sparing some time in a busy time of the year.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
For sure. Trev, how you feeling about this? This is the first one. You weren't on for Browns Giants, and now you're getting a little of the mock draft fever yourself here as Joe and Connor get ready to make the number three pick. This is the first one you've been on for.
I know. We got a little team action, like a little dual war room going on here.
That's
I'm not sure if
they're
going to disagree. We'll have to figure that out.
Could be Mike McCadden and Brian Heimerdinger. We're talking
right.
It out and we'll figure it out.
There you go. Exactly. So you guys heard this.
The Jets need all the help they can get.
That's
too.
True.
Yes.
That's true.
Me and Joe feel strongly about this pick.
Yes.
So Joe and Connor are in this situation where the Jets have already traded up. That was without their consent, but I'm sure they're happy about it because now they're in position to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. That's obviously the need here. We're not looking at any other positions. Sorry if you're a Jets fan holding out hope for Quentin Nelson. We're not going to address that in this podcast.
Sam Darnold talking about other positions at number three. He'll be a quarterback.
Sam Darnold is off the board to the Browns. Saquon Barkley's off the board to the Giants. Now you guys basically have the pick of the rest of the quarterbacks in this class. So let's open the floor and in the war room and let's discuss. You're on the clock now. You've got Lamar Jackson from Louisville, Josh Allen from Wyoming, Josh Rosen from UCLA and Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma. And those are at least the top options. Throw in Mason Rudolph there if you guys want to. But from this group, who can you narrow down right away and start to cut down and focus in on your top guys? Who gets cut down right away?
I mean, I would say off the top, we'd get rid of Jackson, Rudolph, and personally, and I'm going to guess Connor will agree with me, is we will get rid of Allen as well.
Yes.
This is basically a two-person conversation between Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield. Any objections there?
No, that is 100%, 1,000% correct. It's down to those two guys.
What eliminates the rest of the crew for you guys? What takes some of those guys off the table? And maybe, Connor, maybe you offer some of your thoughts first and then Joe. But just curious to hear from you guys, maybe what takes a guy like Allen off the – obviously the NFL thinks highly of him. And obviously good things about Lamar Jackson too. I know this conversation probably doesn't include Rudolph. But, for guys like that, what takes them off the table at this point for you guys and why they're obviously not the fit for the Jets?
Well, I think for those two, physically, you love a lot of different things. I think when you look at Lamar Jackson, we know that he's an electric runner. He has a very, very quick kind of flick of the wrist release with really good velocity on a lot of his short intermediate stuff. And we've seen him push the ball vertically down the field. And Allen, we know all the nonsense, okay? 6'5", rocket arm, all right? He's got all the size. Everybody loves his personality off the
field.
Just
looks like a quarterback.
He looks like a quarterback. But for Allen, I will say this. This is my simple case against him right now. The game is too – look at his film against Power 5 schools. It is extremely ugly. The decision-making is ugly. The accuracy combined with the mechanics, probably due to the mechanics falling apart, is not pretty. He is not ready to play, and the New York Jets need somebody that is ready to play. I think Lamar Jackson is definitely a big risk, big reward kind of player. So we're narrowing, and I'm not going to speak for Joe, but I feel like he does agree. We're narrowing it down to two guys that we feel can thrive from the pocket and are honestly just way, way more accurate than those other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Allen, I think you're just ignoring so much historical evidence and analytics that point against him being able to succeed in the NFL. If you look at players who have completion percentage around him, you look at guys who have produced the way he has against top-tier competition and struggled the way he has, it's just there's no historical precedent or case to feel confident that he is going to come to the NFL, figure out his mechanical flaws, and all of a sudden become a highly accurate quarterback. And I don't think sitting on the bench for 2 years is going to solve it. And for the Jets, if they draft Josh Allen and plan on sitting him on the bench for 2 years, who knows who the GM and head coach are going to be in 2 years? It might be an entirely different regime who will want their own guy. So I just think the Jets are not in a position to take that kind of risk. With Jackson, he's a player I do like more than Allen, but there definitely is some risk there. He also has accuracy concerns, although at least he improved year over year, unlike Allen. But I do think with Jackson, you need to build your offense around him and coach around him in a specific way. It's kind of similar to what the Texans did with Deshaun Watson, how they catered their offense to him last year. And I don't know if the Jets are immediately in a position to do that. And it would be surprising in my mind. Jackson feels like a guy who's going to be available in the 10 to 25 range. So why would you trade up from 6 to 3 if he was on your radar? So really, I think like Connor said, it comes down to Josh Rosen, the more traditional, polished pocket passer, or Baker Mayfield, who doesn't necessarily maybe check all the traditional boxes of what a quarterback looks like, but is highly accurate and is a playmaker and has, I hate using the football guy sort of it factor, but sort of does have that vibe around him at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going off of that. My next question, Mayfield, pretty polarizing, depends on who you like. A lot of draft Twitter really likes Mayfield. A lot of people in the NFL have kind of heard like this and that about him. Some people are scared about him. Obviously, the Manziel thing that comes up, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. But you guys are obviously into Mayfield enough to consider him if you were running the Jets at number 3 overall. So just a little bit more detail into what you both like about Mayfield enough to consider him there and what would make him a worthy pick this high in the draft.
Well, I think he could flat out play. I mean, a lot of people talk so much about the culture aspect of it. This is a team that they took Jamal Adams 6th overall for a reason. They've really rebuilt the locker room, cut ties with Mo Wilkerson this offseason. And when you look at Baker Mayfield, he's a guy that his team rallies behind like no other really player in this class. But at the end of the day, what gets buried in that is that the guy can flat out play. He's an accurate passer. I think he's got an extremely, extremely strong arm. I think his feel in the pocket is very impressive along with vision, and he's improved dramatically all 3 seasons starting at Oklahoma, and he's a really good fit for Jeremy Bates. So when you look at what Bates wants to do, they're going to be working a lot off of play action, rolling him out, cutting the field in half, relying on throws outside the hashes that require the arm strength he has. It would be foolish to not really consider him at this pick alongside Rosen.
Yeah, I think with Mayfield, I just like the accuracy. He's a guy who is highly accurate all over the field. I don't buy into any questions about his arm strength. I think he has the ability to make every throw in the playbook at this level and has an ability to attack down the field with a high level of accuracy. So I think when you can do that, you are serious. You have the serious ability to potentially be a franchise quarterback at the next level because of how important that skill is. And I think despite the size limitations, like Connor said, I think with Jeremy Bates, you could move the pocket with Mayfield. I think he is a playmaker. He's a guy who has a good feel in the pocket, knows when to escape the pocket and make a play on the run. And again, just a playmaker, a guy who produced and has the ability to step into the NFL and I think play from day one and has the necessary sort of attitude around him to come in. And when you're the starting quarterback, you're one of the leaders of the franchise. And I think Mayfield has the game to back that up on the field and the right mindset for it off the field, despite some of the character concerns.
So here we are. We've got the number 3 pick on that. You've laid out the argument for Baker Mayfield. I know that their argument for Josh Rosen, you guys mentioned already, you know, the traditional pocket passer type, also the accuracy, the things like that. Laying out the argument for both these guys and knowing how important this draft is for the future of the Jets, obviously, for a quarterback and after moving up and giving up assets kind of accentuates all the importance of all of this. It's a monumental pick because this division is going to be up in the air in coming years. You know, as the Patriots, depending on what they do, especially in this draft, with the added ammunition they have, you know, they could be poised to drop off a little bit if Brady and some of the other roster moves keep trending down the way that they have. It's somebody's in position, and the Bills are trying to make a move. The Dolphins are trying to make moves. The Jets have already made their move, and now they've got to find their guy. Here it is, number 3 overall pick in the draft. And Connor, maybe you kick us off. Joe, you chime in with your opinion as well. Hopefully you agree, but the time has come. 1 minute on the clock. You got to turn in that draft card. Who's it going to be? Who's going to be the pick at number 3?
I mean, Joe, it's as simple as this. We're not going to pass on the best quarterback in this class, right?
QB1. Both of us have been consistent with him being our QB1, so you have to take him.
Yep. It's been a very, very long time that Joe and I have talked about how good Josh Rosen is at almost every aspect of the quarterback position, whether it's throwing with touch at all three levels of the field, flawless mechanically, his accuracy, he's built for the pros, he's extremely, extremely smart. And this is something that Joe and I have just simply said for a very, very long time. He's the best quarterback in this class, and if the Jets can get him at 3, they'd be very, very fortunate to do so.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think getting a guy that I'd be comfortable taking number 1 overall at the 3rd overall pick is a very exciting proposition. I think he is a pure pocket passer who could, again, make every throw in the field, has a high IQ, will be able to play right from year 1. In terms of finding a comparison for him, I've said playoff Super Bowl Eli Manning could really be his ceiling, and that's kind of sacrilegious for me to say as a Jets fan, but we all saw what Eli did during those years. I also get and appreciate some of the Matt Ryan comparisons as well, and I think Rosen could be that type of player. I have him a touch higher than Mayfield, but I just feel like the ceiling is a little higher for him and the floor is higher for him with Rosen. So I think if he is on the board, the Jets have to take him at number 3.
There you go. Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback, going off the board of the New York Jets. And you know, you won't hear Trevor and I arguing. We also are on the Josh Rosen hype train. My QB1. The Jets managed to land him at 3. Do you guys feel like you're at that crossroads? Like you're, as obviously avid fans and covering the franchise, I mean, this could really come down to Rosen or Allen, right? And it sounds like from both of your perspectives, that couldn't be more different of an outcome in your minds.
No doubt about that. I mean, when you look at it, for this team, it's so hard for me to take it seriously that Allen can be in serious consideration because of the fact that all we hear about him is that he should not play right away next year. And something that I know Joe has said, if this team takes a quarterback at 3, which they are, this quarterback's probably playing almost right away next season. Maybe McCown or Bridgewater start a couple of games, but this quarterback is playing next year. And you're not going to go take a roll of the dice like Allen if you truly feel that way. So it's dicey. If it comes down to those two, that says a lot, I think, about the front office when me and Joe clearly feel it should be down to Rosen and Baker Mayfield.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the most important pick they've made since Mark Sanchez way back in 2009, and he did eventually flame out here, of course, but that did precede 2 AFC Championship game appearances, so hoping that this could kind of help pivot the franchise around. But the Jets, again, like Connor said, they're in no position to take a quarterback and sit him on the bench for 16 games next year after what happened with Christian Hackenberg and think that anyone is going to have confidence in Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles going forward after that. So everything we hear about Josh Allen, well, he's got to sit for a year and a half. He's got to sit for 2 years, and he's a huge roll of the dice. How could you pass on a guy in Rosen who, in a lot of people's eyes, is either the best quarterback in this class or in discussion for being the best player in this class? So great opportunity to potentially get him at number 3. Let's just hope they do the right thing.
Absolutely. There you have it. Sam Darnold off the board first to the Browns, Saquon Barkley to the Giants, Joe and Connor with terrific pick for the Jets, taking Josh Rosen in my book, in their book, the QB1 comes off the board at number 3, and the Jets get their franchise quarterback. Next up, Cleveland Browns on the clock. Nathan Zagura, don't go anywhere. Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard here, FanRagSports.com. Nathan Zagura from Browns Daily, a senior Cleveland Browns media broadcaster, is back. He threw down the first pick for us. He's kicked this whole thing off by taking Sam Darnold number 1 overall to the Cleveland Browns. Then Saquon Barkley went off the board to the New York Giants, Josh Rosen to the New York Jets, and now Nathan is back to do the fourth pick. Nathan, that's the one that a lot more controversy seems to be surrounding what the Browns should do with the fourth. Should they trade? Should they take Saquon Barkley? Should they take a defensive end? Should they take a DB? Should they take Mike McGlinchey? You know, just seems like there's opinions all over the place. When you look at this Browns roster, what do you see as being the biggest hole outside of quarterback?
Well, I think probably the biggest hole is just playmakers on the defensive side of the football. And you could argue that cornerback would be right up there. And I think if there was a cornerback, and I like Denzel Ward a lot, that was considered, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, and maybe he is to some people, maybe he is to the Browns and could be the pick at 4. But I think playmakers on defense, given the way that this draft has unfolded, and I'm sure John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson and Greg Williams and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf would consider this scenario that's unfolded right now to be the dream scenario. Because I think when you look at the NFL, and I was talking to John Dorsey at the NFL Scouting Combine, and I said to him, you know, what are the most important positions in the NFL? He said, number 1, quarterback, as it relates to winning. Number 2 was pass rusher. And I think for the Browns, The best defensive player on their board is a pass rusher who is available to them. And while they're in very good shape with Myles Garrett and Emmanuel Ogba, we know the NFL moves to a lot of these sub packages. Guys slide inside, especially in pass rushing situations. And you could do that. We saw in the Super Bowl, Brandon Graham lined up over a guard for the sack strip fumble that sealed that game for the Eagles. Myles Garrett, multiple sacks inside last year. And so I think you can make the case that the Browns could find ways to get Garrett, Ogba, and Chubb on the field together. And that's why I think Bradley Chubb would certainly be an interesting pick. And what better way to help the secondary than not give quarterbacks any time to throw the football? And I think that could be an intriguing possibility right here at number four for the Browns.
Yeah, for sure. Pass rush, obviously a big value. And yes, some people would look, you know, it's hard to get the guy on the field maybe, but Ogba might be a guy that can play inside more. Like you said, Garrett already has played inside some. I like him on the edge, but he's obviously been going to be productive no matter where he is because of those athletic traits. We got to talk about the trade down scenarios. We're not doing trades in this situation, but let's say that, okay, you know, no matter what the Browns had, you know, maybe it unfolds this way. They don't trade down, but you know, if it unfolds a little bit differently and maybe a guy like Chubb's off the board, how strongly do you consider trading down if you're the Browns, you know, at number four? If you were able to get, let's say, the Bills, the 12th pick and the 22nd pick, is that something that you consider if you're the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I think you would have to consider it. It'd probably be the 12th pick, the 22nd pick, and then something substantial in the 2019 draft. And I think you would consider it heavily. What it would come down to is, you know, is Saquon Barkley that high on your board that you would break, you know, the John Dorsey mold? He's been a part of 27 NFL drafts, never been in an organization to pick the running back in the first round. The same is also true for Alonzo Highsmith and Elliott Wolf, obviously. So if he's that high, maybe you take him. If you love Denzel Ward to the point that you think he is clearly the top cover corner in this draft and you want to lock him in, maybe you stay at four, but I think you probably field some serious trade offers there. And the Bills, to me, are the only team that has the ammunition that keeps me happy this year because you know your number one pick's not going to play. So if you could go ahead and get two guys that are very, very talented that can help you right away, it could be a good thing. And I think the Bills with 12 and 22 are the most appealing and really the only trade partner that I would be all that interested in right now because you could still at 12 theoretically get Denzel Ward. Then at 22, maybe Harold Landry slides, so you get a pass rusher and a corner. Maybe you want Mike McGlinchey to help replace the loss of Joe Thomas, so you get your left tackle of the future. And I think it gives you a lot of options to get two starters for the price of one. But at the same time, we know Browns fans gun-shy about this type of a thing. Take the superstars, they say. However, I would just point out that if the Browns, let's say, move from 12 to 22, and they love Denzel Ward, I bet they'd be able to move back up to number eight with Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago Bears giving up some of those extra mid-round picks last year to get Mitch Trubisky. And so maybe there's a way to move back up with Chicago to number eight, and maybe it costs you a fourth. Maybe it costs you even pick 64, and you get a third back from them. But at the end of the day, if you still got the guy you would have taken at four with Chubb off the board in Denzel Ward, and you get to turn 64 into 22, that's a good thing for your organization. You'd have five of the top 35, mm-hmm. which would be pretty appealing.
Right. That's a man, that's an appealing haul to have. I mean, obviously, you know, having two of the top five is nice too, along with those two early second rounders. So either way, they're in a good spot. But okay, so you mentioned left tackle, and I got to ask you about this because offensively, I mean, you look at wide receiver position, it feels like they've done a good bit there. Sure, you could add somebody later in the draft. You know, your right guard, center, left guard, right tackle, it seems like with Chris Hubbard now. Those positions somewhat set in stone, it seems like. Tight end with Njoku, we know what's going to happen to quarterback. We've already addressed that. Running back Hyde and Duke Johnson, you probably add a guy later in the draft to compete as well, maybe even a second rounder. But seems like, you know, with Barkley off the board especially, seems like we've worked away from running back. Really the only offensive position to consider seems to be left tackle. To you, what are the differences maybe between the left tackles in this class, and how important is it for Cleveland to make sure they nab one, a guy that can be the future at that position, or at least be a solid starter at that position one of the early picks in this draft?
And let me just say, and I think you're probably better versed to speak on it than I, but it doesn't strike me as the greatest tackle class because mm-hmm. we're not really talking about anybody going in the top 15, which typically if a tackle was that good, you'd be talking about him going in the top five. So that would make me nervous, but I think you're right on the offensive side of the ball. If you were going to make another pick in the first round, now you could maybe, if you fell in love and truly love Darius Geis, you could think about Darius Geis there or whether it's Sony Michel, et cetera. But I think it would be tackle. Now, you've got him, you've got Connor Williams, you have the kid from UCLA as well that are all kind of seeming to be in the mix, but none of them really stand out to me. McGlinchey, the great pro day. He's got a little bit more buzz, it seems like, in the media circles. And again, you probably would know better than I. But I'll be honest with you. From the day the Browns drafted Sean Coleman, Joe Thomas said to me, this guy's got it. This guy's going to be my heir apparent. So I don't know that it's a huge need. If you've got Sean Coleman, you've got Hubbard now. Coleman started 16 games at right tackle. And yeah, is he a little bit of a work in progress and has to make the transition? Sure. But I don't think the offensive line is really a huge weakness for the Browns going into this draft. And maybe you could look at what in the past, you know, the Packers did, finding a guy like David Bakhtiari in the fourth round. And maybe you look at that as the way to try to find a tackle here or go via free agency again next year if Sean Coleman doesn't pan out. But it's interesting. I think the Browns could end up taking, like I said, if they do that trade, taking a cornerback and a pass rusher with those two picks, but offensive tackle, as you mentioned, certainly has to be something that's considered because of the retirement of Joe Thomas.
Right. So yeah, offensive side of the ball, good points. We can almost push that aside at this point because we're staying at number four. So push the offensive side, push the trade down scenario aside. Right now we're zeroing in defensive prospects. You've mentioned Bradley Chubb, and you mentioned, I think, Denzel Ward a little bit too. Who else? Is there anybody else that's on the radar for the Browns at number four? Is it one of those two guys? Could a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick or Derwin James make sense for them? Could Maurice Hurst from Michigan make sense for them? Even if they were to move down a little bit, are any of these guys considering, would any of these guys be guys that you would consider at that number four spot?
I mean, I think Minkah Fitzpatrick, it depends, and Derwin James, it depends on their evaluation of them. Mm-hmm. Are these guys that are going to play outside corner for you? And some people think James has that athleticism. And Minkah Fitzpatrick played nickel corner and was very, very good at it and gives you versatility. He's a great leader. So I think they would be in consideration. But I think with the trade for Demarius Randall, that's your free safety right now. You've got Peppers at strong safety. So you'd probably be looking more to pure corner, which leads you back to Denzel Ward. Now, the other names that you mentioned, Bradley Chubb, and we'll get to him in a second. But I think guys that could potentially be under consideration, and I know it might sound crazy, but Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith. I know both of these guys, one's compared to Urlacher, another compared to Ray Lewis, and I know Joe Schobert just went to the Pro Bowl as the middle linebacker for the Browns, and you'd like to think he can continue to get better, but if you can get that field general out of the middle linebacker position that changes everything, controls everything, and we got to be honest about it, Schobert was very, very good and racked up a lot of tackles. The Browns really were victimized through the air by tight ends and in the middle of the field especially, so perhaps that's kind of a wild card scenario. I haven't heard much buzz about that whatsoever, but I'll just throw that out there as maybe two other potential guys that the Browns could be considering if they wanted to go a different direction at number four.
How about Harold Landry? That's the last question I'll ask you before we get to the pick. But to me, it's interesting. Harold Landry, thought of as a guy that could be one of the top picks. I remember seeing written last year after his 16.5 sack season, when he went back to college football after last year's draft, someone said in an article, I can't remember where I even read it, but that he was actually a better prospect than Myles Garrett. We see that all the time, people talking like that the year after a draft. But it does seem like Landry, he was banged up this past year. You still saw flashes of it. The speed, the bend, that kind of stuff all really shows up on his tape a ton. He may not be as well-rounded as Bradley Chubb, but he's got great traits. If Chubb's off the board here and they're not trading down, would Landry be on the top of that board for consideration?
I think you'd have to consider. My ideal scenario with a trade down with the Bills would be to come out of there with Landry and a quarter, whether that's them. Del Ward, whether that's Jair Alexander, whether that's Mike Hughes, I think that, or Josh Jackson, depending on the scheme fit for the Browns, you've got an opportunity, I think, to get a great pass rusher and a corner if you were to do that trade down. So Landry's a guy, it's interesting. Some people really have him rising up boards and going in the top 10. And then I know yesterday, I think Todd McShay and Mel Kiper did a dual mock draft, and they both had him going in the mid-20s down to the Tennessee Titans. So it seems wide-ranging on him. Jeez. I've seen a lot of comparisons to Vic Beasley, and who wouldn't want to have Vic Beasley? I don't think the Browns would take him at four, but I think if they did a trade scenario with Buffalo, he's one of the guys that could be a part of that two-pick special that they would pick up.
Right. Very interesting stuff. Okay, so you've laid out the big names. You've laid out the options. I think I have an idea where you might be leaning, Nathan. But here we go. The number four overall pick, the draft card. It is time to run it to the table, to run it to the podium, and announce the pick. Who are the Browns taking at number four?
I think if this scenario unfolds in real life, unless the Browns get an offer that they simply cannot refuse, I think they will sprint to the podium. I would say if this scenario unfolds, 90% is my confidence the Browns will select defensive end Bradley Chubb of NC State and just kind of build that front of a defense that could be unbelievable when you think about having, you know, Agba, Garrett, and now Chubb at your ends and able to move inside and passing downs. You brought in Chris Smith. You could play who can play inside as well. You could play four defensive ends in your pass rushing packages. Or you could have Larry Ogunjobi, who looked very good as a rookie, as a penetrator. Caleb Brantley, who probably would have been a second rounder last year as a penetrator as well. And you got to say to yourself, man, this front could be electric for Greg Williams, which I think would help maybe create that coverage a little closer to the line of scrimmage so that we don't give so many easy completions up. But I think Bradley Chubb absolutely will be the pick for the Browns if he is on the board for them at four. And I think that would be one of the rare scenarios in the history of the NFL where a team can get its number one quarterback, number one overall, and also get the number one player on their board there at number four.
Yeah, what a scenario it would be. And at first, I honestly was kind of, you know, when I first heard of the Chubb to the Cleveland back in January, February connection, I was kind of, you know, opposed to it. I was like, man, they have Ogba and Garrett and Ogunjobi and Shelton. At that point, they had Shelton. And then they signed Chris Smith. I was like, I just, you know, do they really need another one? Chris Smith was a great inside rusher last year for Cincinnati, really kind of found himself. Do they really need another one? But then I looked at the rest of the roster and where they're filling holes, and I wouldn't take a running back over. I'd rather have an extra pass rusher than take a running back, given their situation of running back. And, you know, you bring in Jarvis Landry and you fill a hole there, and, you know, you look at the linebacker situation. Like you said, it's worth considering, but, you know, certainly plenty of talent there. You know, they bring in Demarius Randall and even a cornerback. I think that there's definite needs there, but I might be a little bit too high for a corner to me. So if you can't trade down, and I still like the trade down scenario, I am really warming to the idea of Chubb as well in Cleveland, just because look at what the Eagles did with that great defensive line and having multiple pass rushers. So I don't know. The options for Cleveland seem really good. And last thing I'll ask you, Nathan, is looking at the Browns roster right now, they hit on a couple of these first picks, and isn't this one of the better rosters in the league? I mean, obviously it depends on the quarterback play and the coaching. That's always been the X factor. But outside of that, this is a great roster, right?
I mean, you think about it, let's just start on the offensive side of the ball. Let's say that they get Chubb and we won't even worry about the rest of the picks for just what you have right now. Okay, on the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line, top half of the NFL, right? I mean, I think that's safe to say. Then let's take just the skill position groups, not including the quarterback. Receivers, Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, Corey Coleman are your top three. Tight ends, Njoku, DeValve, and you bring in Fells as the blocking tight end. Your running backs are Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. That's probably top half of the NFL as a skill position group. So if you can get Tyrod Taylor to give you solid football, you should have a top half of the NFL offense under the tutelage of Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson. Now we go to the defensive side of the ball. This defensive line we're talking about that now has Garrett, Agba, Chubb. It's got Ogunjobi. It's got Brantley. It's got Chris Smith as for depth. It's got Jamie Meter and Trevon Coley for depth. I think that's certainly towards the top half of the NFL. Your linebacking core, your starters, and I do think you need to add some depth here in the draft and maybe even some more free agents as the offseason goes on, but your starters are Christian Kirksey, Jamie Collins, and Pro Bowler Joe Schobert now in the middle. And then your corners, you've improved. There's still probably one to be added in the draft, but now your quarterback room looks pretty good. You've got T.J. Carey, you've got E.J. Gaines, you've got Jamar Taylor, you have Breann Body Calhoun, you've got Terrence Mitchell, and you've got Howard Wilson, who you drafted in the fourth round out of Houston, and I know was thought of pretty highly in the building before his injury robbed him of his rookie year. And then on the back end now, Demarius Randall at free safety, Jabril Peppers at strong safety, Derek Kindred, a very solid backup strong safety who can play in some packages where you want to move him down as a linebacker as well. And I think, yeah, you've got the makings of something that is pretty darn good here. And it's exciting for Browns fans. I mean, when you look at it on paper, you shouldn't go into games, and we used to do this last year, where you would go, all right, who on our offense would start on the other team's offense and who on our defense would start on the other team's defense? The numbers of the answers that are going to be Cleveland Browns are going to go up a lot this year relative to last year, and I think the win total should go up as well.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, terrific, and I agree with you completely. I think that roster is vastly improved. It's going to come down to the coaching and the quarterback play, as it has seemed to over the last couple of years, or not a couple of years maybe, but since they returned back to the league, basically, that's been the big question.
Sure. Like,
can they find stability at those spots? So that's why those picks will really matter, but the rest of the roster definitely really important. So he is at Nathan Zagura, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at Nathan. Last name is Zegura. Make sure you give him a follow. Lots of great stuff from Browns Daily. Nathan, really appreciate you taking the time, my man, and laying down some great picks for us. Cleveland Browns coming away with Sam Darnold and Bradley Chubb. Really appreciate it, man.
I think they will be moonwalking in Berea if they come away with Sam Darnold and Bradley Chubb in this draft. It would be a great, great scenario for the Browns. Always a pleasure being with you, and we will talk again soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. We got the Broncos coming up on the clock next, and then followed by the Colts. Don't go anywhere, folks. More good stuff to come on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.